Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Floor is Yours. As you know, the Heat kind of represent them. We do not have our full lineup. It was a late scratch. Brian Fonseca, he warmed up with an intent to play, and we'll say it was maybe a hammy or something that's holding him out. So just three out of the four main guys, myself, we got Timmy in the top right. We got Tony Schwartz in the bottom. One of the biggest upsets, I think, ever is that Tony Schwartz got a ring before Jimmy Butler. And we're proud of him. Listen, we're not gonna dispute it. We're not going to talk about the path like the Celtics. We're going to talk about the Celtics, but we're not going to talk about Tony's path to a ring. He earned it. He, you know, it's well validated. So we'll keep it at that. But we're proud and happy for Tony. Brian is not here, but we'll roll through things and talk about the NBA finals that's coming up as we record on Wednesday night. It's coming up tomorrow. Before we do that, we just want to talk about the competition that we have going on with one of our sponsors, Better Edge. Make sure you check out Better Edge. It's a social marketplace for betting. It's like, you're peer to peer. You're not betting against a book. There's no VIG. So if you know, you set the line, the other side takes it, you're not paying them any fees. So it's a great way to get a better line than you can find on the other books that are available in Florida or anywhere. Basically, every state this is legal in. But there's a competition. It's free to join the competition. It's all about the NBA Finals. It's just 10 picks. All you have to do is put in your email or your phone number. The winner gets $100. It's the biggest Better Edge competition that we've done. We've done one basically every round of the playoffs. This is the biggest one for the NBA Finals. So go in there, enter it. You can get $100. If you use the code 5RSM when you join Better Edge, you can also get $20 from Five Reasons Sports. Make sure you check that out. It is pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter, and you can find it. It'll get tweeted out. Basically, you need to sign up before tomorrow, Thursday at 9 o'clock. Thank you to Better Edge for sponsoring Five Reasons Sports. And let's jump in, fellas. So we have Celtics and Mavericks. And before we actually talk about that series, let's really kind of recap. It's been a while since we've been together. It's been a couple weeks. The path. Let's just start in the East. Let's talk about the Eastern Conference playoffs, and I'll start with Timmy. What did you take away from, you know, these three rounds of Eastern Conference playoffs that that we've seen so far?
To be clear, if the Celtics didn't get there, it would have been a failure. And despite the you said it best, Sean. We can't judge a team by who was out. So, yes, Jimmy was out. Halley lost a hamstring. Brunson broke a hand. OG elbow blew up again. All these things happened, and they said to go out there and perform. The Celtics had such a great season with the addition of Drew and KP. They did their job. Jaylen Brown took the All-NBA stuff to heart, and I think he, you know, all of the noise in the market in the summer about the $300 million contract, he wants to be better than Tatum, etc., but this, as we'll say later, this is a team. This is the era of the duos. You know, these are two of the best duos in the league, and we're going to see who will win out. But no, Tatum, for all of the slander, like he was solid. He shows why I accept his team, no matter what Jaylen does. Like he does it. I think people underestimate just how good of a defender Jason Tatum really is. Like one on one, that man 6'10", long wing son, he can lock you up. I'm just curious to see. And so it's funny, the one I'd say bubble like Tatum has on his resume is the 2022 finals, you know. And I mean, it was Draymond Green, like, you know, you are forgiving. So I think narratives get too far out of hand in the sense that other than the 2002 finals, Tatum has showed up in every series. Just because he beat them last year don't mean Tatum isn't great. Like, did he just know how to defend him? But they did what they're supposed to do. I think they only lost twice because they swept the Pacers.
Yeah, lost once to each of the first two teams and then swept the Pacers.
Yeah, so they did their job. They got there, you know. I think you guys know Jrue Holiday is one of my favorite players in the NBA since he was drafted. Like, happy for him, just his arc, and he really is a menace on the defensive end. I'm curious to see what Mazzulla, and I think, just to not jump too far ahead, I like the team, and Mazzulla is the youngest coach in the finals for a reason. I think that will show, him being the youngest coach in the finals. But I'm very excited for these finals, to be quite honest.
Tony, what were your takeaways of the Eastern Conference playoffs?
It's underwhelming compared to the West. Every matchup was exciting and had some value. But the Celtics earned their run. Timmy said it. They had some impressive comebacks. You say what you want about them and their competition. You still have to go out there and beat a team. You still have to put them away. And there were opportunities for other squads to get wins that the Knicks – or not the Knicks, but the Pacers could have had one at least. Celtics pull off a really, really impressive win there. Close out that series. And they have a really impressive comeback win in the series before that, too. So, you know, they're an incredibly deep and incredibly talented squad. And remember, they swept the Pacers without Porzingis, who was quite easily the single biggest X factor for the finals this year. So they have a tall test in front of them. I wouldn't say they're as warm as the team coming into the finals on the other side of the conference, but you know, that could be a plus or a minus. Everybody has a different take on that, but yeah, the Celtics had an incredible run. It does feel like they're on their Milwaukee Bucks, you know, what was that, 22 when they went, 21 when they went. It does feel like they're on their Milwaukee Bucks run right now. And I think Jason Tatum has a similar thing that he wants to try and prove that Giannis was trying to prove it that year.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what both of you said. There's no disputing the path was very easy. Obviously, they only lost two games. They played a lot of teams that had injuries. They earned the right to have that, though. You know, where we can talk about, when we talk about the Miami Heat, they put themselves in that spot of having to play in the play-in, which ultimately gets Jimmy hurt, which gets them against a higher seed, and, you know, it's not a good thing, right? But the Celtics put themselves in a spot where, look, they were able to coast basically the last third of the season. They had the number one seed. They got to play the weakest teams. It benefited them. And then that's part of being the number one seed, right? There should be more challenges, I believe. But ultimately, you know, you look at those three series and, you know, while Miami got one, Indiana, even though it was a sweep, was very competitive in a lot of games. You could ultimately argue they should have lost two or three of them. But I will say this. Boston has had problems closing out games. And in this playoffs, they actually have done a good job of, whether it's mounting comebacks or just simply closing the door on teams. And so that'll be interesting to see if that is because they were going against lesser talent, or was it the fact that they've kind of figured things out? And we're going to find that out very quickly, because the challenge is going to get extremely ramped up starting tomorrow night against the Dallas Mavericks. Let's flip it over and talk about the Dallas Mavericks in the Western Conference. What did you guys think about that playoffs? I think definitely more interesting in terms of excitement and series. But I'll start with Tony this time. What did you think about the Western Conference playoffs as a whole?
Yeah, when they come out against the Nuggets, who had their own litany of problems, you know, especially in that Dallas series, trying to defend those two ball handlers, even a more injured Luka than what went on to face the Timberwolves. You used to watch those two guys trade possessions. You know, you watch Kyrie go at it. I think I saw a stat that was like Luka Doncic having a godlike year in the playoffs from 17 feet, shooting 66% from 17 to 20, right? The only player doing better than him is Kyrie Irving at 67%. So the two of them are just lighting it up, doing incredible, incredible things in the basketball court, but their surrounding cast is rising to meet them. I think that was the tell in the Nuggets series, was just getting those moments out of Derek Jones Jr., getting those moments out of so many guys up and down their roster. I love, it's going to be weird for Heat fans hearing me say this. I love this Dallas team. Luka's my favorite non-Heat player. He has been for a great number of years. So I'm all the way in on, you know, praying and hoping that the Dallas Mavericks can pull this off. And I hate hoping nice things for Mark Cuban, but, you know, I'm kind of praying for this one because I don't want to see a, I don't want to see a Celtics final. But that team's really good. I built that piano myself through using ChatGPT. You know, the run was incredible. And I do think that a lot of things that they did against the Minnesota Timberwolves showed that the Dallas Mavericks can adapt and that they can play deep into a series as well, that they can keep going even after they fought extremely hard in the Nuggets series.
Timmy, your takes on the Western Conference playoffs?
Adrenaline every single night. I went to bed at like 1 o'clock every morning, like on a high, like I could not go to bed. Tony touched on it. I shout out to Nico Harrison. Luka's issue has always been his bigs are either slow-footed or they couldn't shoot. You draft Lively. You got PJ there. Even though PJ hasn't shot as good as he can shoot, he brought the vibes. You know, he brought the vibes. But I just think it was, and shout out to, you know, Heat Lifer, DJJ. Tony mentioned that there was two games in particular. He had basically a combined 30 points because they switched his defensive assignment, and he sat in the corner. Like I watched a highlight play where Derek Jones Jr. and as I said, Luka Doncic passes the most to the corner than anybody in the league. DJJ did not even have to move his stance. He just caught the ball.
Yeah, straight up.
Like, guys on their roles, you know, like Lively, and it showed like that one game the Wolves won where Lively missed. And basketball is so simple, you know, like Edwards could not get to the rim. Like, he could not smell the rim. The one game that Lively missed, he played pretty well. But the moment Lively came back, it was curtains. I think it's credit to Luka. They call him fat, whatever, out of shape. But that man is basically playing on a sprained ankle and sprained knee. And he's going at as slow as you could possibly can every single night. And he just beats you up. Like, I think people forget, like, that man is 6'7". You know, like, and he drinks beers after the game, like Larry. And the first round they went against Jokic and Murray, who wasn't himself, but you have basically Jokic, who you have to contain and go against. Then you have the Ant and the Gobert and the Nas reading all these type of things. It's like every single round, they adjusted a different way to beat them. And I think they figured out the thing that weird LeBron couldn't do their first year, where, okay, Luka goes the first half, Curry goes the second half. Or maybe Curry goes the first half, Luka, they've got such a synergy and they think it's shown on not to court. I can't believe Curry is not only 32, but he's also the oldest guy on that team. So now you have Kyrie, who has been through what he's been through, you know, and on and off the court, basically leading this team to the finals. And they are the underdogs. Shout out to Kid. I like to see coaches get it, learn. So he was not really good at all in Brooklyn. Giannis loved him in Milwaukee, but still got fired. He humbled himself. He went to the Lakers. He rode that bench with Landon Hollins and Frank Vogel, and he won a ring as assistant coach. Came to Dallas and made some changes. So I think Kidd is by far the best coach in the series. Very interested to see what he does to probably combat KP coming out of the paint. Maybe it's going to be maybe some more Cleveland minutes. So, but I'm very excited to see the matchup because we have, like I said, it's two duos. KP clearly is better player than their bigs, but their team just fits so well. So I'm very interested to see this matchup.
So before we jump into that matchup, I want to ask, I guess, two questions. And in the chat, if you guys want to jump in and give your opinion, by all means. And if you have questions, we'll pin those and we'll get to them at the end of the show. I don't think anybody will argue that the Boston Celtics are the best team in the East, right? It's not a circumstance because of injury or anything like that.
Jimmy might, the best team
throughout the season.
Well, Jimmy hasn't spoken since Ryan told him to shut up. So,
you know. I'm going to give you guys this question, and I just want you to answer it. Not really a lot of elaboration. Let's just assume health, right? People that were injured. We'll give Jimmy health. Everyone that was injured from that point forward. Okay, we're not going to put Julius Randle back, but the guys that got injured during the playoffs in a perfect bill of health, including Porzingis. Who's the second best team in the East?
I think it's still the Knicks.
Yeah, I did like a little I still think firmly he's the next. Even if you take out Randall, are you including OG?
Including OG, and I was just going to clarify that I think Giannis got hurt before Jimmy did, but
he did. He did. He did. Yeah.
If Giannis was healthy, does that change?
I still think the Bucks point of attack defense is disgusting. Like, it makes you want to throw up.
Yeah.
I'll put the Bucks firmly at three. Okay. I'll put the Sixers at four, but I think the Knicks sorry, Heat fans. I'm sorry. I love that Knicks team.
Yeah.
I love how they play. They play the right way. I enjoy that team. I'm sorry. I know that's like taboo, but you know, I'm sorry.
Tony, did you have a different one, or do you think Knicks?
I don't know. The East is full of rivals. All right. I hate them all, but fully healthy 76ers team might look a little better than what it looked like going in. But nagging injuries over there all the way around. So who knows how that would have turned out one way or another.
And I think it's not going to be in this show, but as we go through the summertime and we're talking transactions and draft and all that stuff that we're going to get to over the next couple months, the East after Boston is a clump. You know, it is a lot of teams. And to elevate yourself above Boston, I think, is going to take a tall task. And especially if they win the championship, they're probably not going to be breaking up too much.
To your point, no one is a free agent. Now, Derek White might go for the money next season, but everybody is under contract next year. Like, they're going to run it back regardless.
Yeah, and if they lose, I just don't know what their move would be. Again, this isn't going to be this show that we talk about this, but, like, it's going to be hard for these teams from, you know, let's say New York all the way down to the Miamis, Orlandos, to elevate themselves above Boston in one offseason. But I would say that to get yourself from 8-2, like in Miami's situation, you make the right move, you can do that, especially if you're healthy. Let me switch it over to the West. Dallas won the Western Conference. Would you, again, if we give a full bill of health again to these teams, is Dallas actually the best team in the West, or would you argue someone else?
Somebody else. I will take the Nuggets until I die if Jamal Murray was healthy, but that depth was shaky. And I just think that with a little bit of math, the Nuggets would still be in the playoff race right now. The problem is they take the least amount of threes in the NBA, and when Jamal Murray isn't clicking, that problem isn't getting better. They couldn't generate enough points. So I think that they maybe could have been there in this moment against the Celtics if Jamal was healthy. But I do think that that's part of the limbo. That's part of how the dice roll in the playoffs.
Timmy.
It's matchups, right? So like I say, 82 game season versus 60 game season. I still think they were fifth seed for a reason. They had their pitfalls, but they were definitely a different team since the trade. I feel like it wasn't their fault. The Nuggets couldn't keep Bruce Brown. They couldn't re-sign him. But they did the Miami Heat thing and said maybe our bench will grow. The Peyton Watsons, the Struthers, all those things, and failed. They literally had nobody. They had nobody after their, like, what, six? Like, your sixth man is Reggie Jackson. Like,
yeah.
They gambled on that and lost.
They missed Jeff Green, Timmy. They missed Jeff Green.
Yes, exactly. So they should have tried to get a, like, I thought they should have got Kelly Oubre, you know. He clearly, he could have gotten more money than he got in Philly. So I do think with a healthy Murray, maybe just one more player that Malone could depend on, the Nuggets still be second. Before we get to it, we can talk about how does Sam Presti feel that he traded Lively to the Mavericks for more picks? And Casey Wallace. Casey Wallace could not stay on the floor against those guys. But Lively and Chet would literally give me nightmares.
And I think Timmy hit it on the nail, is that the matchups. If, you know, Oklahoma City was, they were the number one team in the West in terms of standings. If Denver was the 4 or 5 seed and played them, I think they get through because they would have been bigger than Oklahoma City. That was ultimately their Achilles heel. If Dallas or obviously Minnesota, I think they get through on those teams. Obviously, Dallas actually did. Minnesota was a great matchup for Denver. Even at full strength, I think Minnesota is a tough matchup for Denver. If Minnesota played Dallas in the second round and Denver went through, and then it was, I don't know, could it be Dallas and Denver in the Western Conference Finals? Could have been Minnesota-Denver, which would have, you know, Oklahoma City, there's so many different matchups, and that's not even counting, you know, like someone said, the Clippers in the chat, Van Lee said Clippers in the chat, Lakers obviously were a threat. There's a lot of teams that in the West, how are you going to break through? And you look at like the Spurs are coming, you look at, you know, basically everybody besides Portland has something in there that you're like, wow, that team can be good very soon. And it's going to be interesting to see, because while the East
we love Zion didn't get hurt in that play-in game.
Yeah. That's another one, like the Pelicans. I mean, I like what the Rockets are doing. The Suns obviously have a great group. Can they figure out how to do the exterior pieces? It's really going to be hard to break into that shell, whereas the East, it's like you can get in there. You can jump all the way to two, basically, and how is that all going to shuffle out? And I think there's going to be a lot of movement this summer, but we'll get to that once we get past the finals. So we're going to move in and talk about the series. Obviously starts Thursday night in Boston, game one. I know the Celtics are about a 6.5 point favorite in terms of the spread. What do you guys think in terms of, let's not necessarily get to a series pick yet. Let's kind of finish with that and then we'll go to the comments. But how do you feel, let's say, you know, like how does Boston defensively match up with Dallas? I don't care whoever wants to go with that. How does Boston match up with Dallas?
So this is what I find interesting. By all accounts, Boston has the best defensive backcourt in the league. Drew and Derek White. But that boy Luka is 6'7". You can't waste minutes and fouls on him. So do you now put Drew on Kyrie? And then you put Jalen on Jalen's gonna see Luka the most. And then you put Derek on DJJ, who's gonna probably, you know, who could shoot over him, probably get some backdoor screens or whatever. So that's my main matchup. Who is going to defend Luka? And another thing too, Kyrie did his job defensively in the playoffs to this point. But historically, he's not really the type of guard you can defend on to stop his matchup. As Heat fans, we know what Derek White does to the team. You have to account for Tatum, you have to account for KP, you have to account for Jaylen Brown. Someone's going to turn their back on Derek White and he's going to have like 6 threes. And you know, each of those threes hit like at the right exact moment. So I'm watching for Kyrie trying to carry the load offensively and contain his man, because whoever he's on is going to be a threat. Like, that's the one thing about Boston, that, and this is why I told a friend the other day, I respect what Dallas has done, but moreover, and we saw it with AI back in 2000, 2001, the better team wins. You know, you could have a generational player against a team like the Pistons. Like, you need more weapons. So if you could contain just one of those, you can make Kyrie, you know, work a little bit. And you know, Drew's, and again, whoever Kyrie guides, whether it be Drew or White, one of them are gonna be able to play free safety. So overall, I think game one is gonna go to Boston. But so my game two is also my favorite part of the series. I like to see the matchups, the adjustments. But I think Boston will come out strong. This is the first finals in 2 years. Like, Tatum and Jalen have grown so much since then. Drew just was here 2021. KP hasn't played in 2 months. How does he come out? You know, that's going to be very interesting. But the numbers say that KP actually looks amazing after absences. Like, he shoots like 70% from the field coming back from an absence. So that's the L. So, and then again, is this a series where Gafford minutes are reduced because Kleber has to check KP, and we know what Gafford has done for them on the offensive boards. Maybe that takes away some of Luka's running game. So it's very interesting to see how they combat the five-headed monster. You know, they basically made five out from the Boston.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the way it handles. I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer, means you can use them longer, and also they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well, and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, Don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. Harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
A lot of smart people don't feel so smart when it comes to their money. So Morgan Stanley made a podcast to help. Listen to What Should I Do With My Money? To hear real people ask real questions about money and get helpful answers from experienced financial advisors.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Tony, what do you see on the defensive end for Boston matching up with Dallas?
Yeah, Denver also appeared gassed is a great comment to get me started, because it's about play styles and the ways that you want to attack a team over the course of seven games. It's the matchups for sure, Timmy. I think hit is definitely one thing you can do. I think with Luka, Jaden McDaniels is an amazing defender. Luka moved that boy like he was paper out there. And I think that's a first team all defender that can guard basically five positions if you need him to in a pinch, four at least. And you got to take your strongest and your most versatile guy, longest guy. It's probably going to be Jaylen Brown. You got to put him on Luka and just go. But at some point, Tatum is going to be guarding Luka. At some point, Kyrie is going to be guarded by, KP. It's going to be guarded by Jaylen Brown, going to be guarded by Tatum. This is going to be a long series, because both teams are relentless and they both have a long history of competition. So it's about play style and what you can initiate and get to effectively over the course of a series. I think when we're talking about defense with the Celtics and what they're going to do to engage Dallas, it's probably a little bit of everything, boys. I think Derek White's going to be a free safety someplace. Derek White's going to be guarding Luka. He's going to be guarding Kyrie other times. They're going to blitz Luka, I'm sure. I know that everyone says don't do it, he's going to find the corner, but you got to just throw looks at him. He can't get comfortable. He's going to pick you apart that way. And I think Timmy makes a great point about Kleba. Dallas's main objective, I think, is to get out there and push pace as fast as humanly possible and try and take games from Boston. Their margin is tighter than Boston's margin is. So if they're running and they're getting out ahead of the play, it doesn't matter how good Boston's defense is and what they can switch and what they can blitz. They can get good looks that way. I think that you got to at least try with Gafford. You got to give it an effort and see if you can make that happen. The lob threat's there. The foot speed's there, the defensive versatility's there, but you got to be able to get in transition, push pace, and play really well. So, but that will be a big factor too. Is Gafford out there? Is Kleba out there? What's going on with the center? What's Lively looking like? Besides the new psycho crazy man haircut that he has, what does he look like on the basketball floor?
Yeah, I think both of you make a good point. I'm going to kind of expand on this from Joel Prado. Hopefully I said your name right. JJ Redick had a piece with LeBron, whether it was his interview process over a podcast. We all got to listen in on this Lakers interview. We appreciate them doing that. But talked about covering Luka, and the numbers basically so far, the best numbers in the playoffs are by blitzing him. So, schematically, the Celtics are fourth best in defensive rating in the playoffs. And keep in mind that they played the number one offense in the Indiana Pacers for four games in that. So they still have a good defensive rating and they played the number one offense, even though obviously there were injuries and things like that involved. They're a good defensive team. We saw that over 82 games. They have great defensive personnel. KP, when he comes back, you're going to have to see how he moves, right? But he's not fleet of foot to begin with, but he's capable. If he gets a switch, he can move his feet well enough. But also the four guys behind him, they can cover up for any mistakes.
That's right.
Like, he's not Zubac. He's not, a guy that you get out there and it's like Rudy Gobert, where you're just going to isolate him, get the switch, and attack. Boston's too good for that. They switch a lot everywhere. You have four really good defensive guards. And I think to the point that he's making in this comment, you make a choice, right? You can start the possession with great matchups. I agree. I would start with Jaylen Brown on Luka. In my opinion, part of it is if you can get away with guarding Luka without him hurting you and you don't have to bring doubles or you don't have to blitz, then that's ideal. Luka's too good for that, though. So if you can play him one-on-one and stop him, great. It's probably not going to happen. So then you blitz. If you blitz, you're probably blitzing, not leaving Kyrie open, but leaving the other guys open. So you live with, all right, DJJ, PJ, Daniel Gafford, Jaden Hardy, Tim Hardaway Jr., all those guys. You're going to have to beat us in the finals to win this because we're not going to let Luka beat us. And if that works, if you can slow down Kyrie and you can blitz the ball out of Luka's hands, they have the personnel to do it. Because if you don't let Kyrie go off and you're blitzing Luka and slowing him down, where the hell do the points come from? I just don't see the math working out. The only thing that I'll say, and I'll push back on Tony a little bit, is I'm afraid if Dallas plays fast, like they generally don't, right? They play a slow pace. Luka controls. He plays at the pace that he wants to play. Boston gets himself in trouble when the ball gets sticky and they play one-on-one iso ball and Drew Hanlon is in the ear of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And it's dribble, 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 cross, 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 boom, 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 step back. And then the ball doesn't move across the floor. And when they're hot, it's great. When they're not, it's terrible. If you start a fast pace like Indiana did at times, now the ball's really you're in the open floor and it's keeping Boston quick. So it's almost like, I don't know. I think a slow game, you have to be effective on offense, to Tony's point, because you don't have much of a margin for error. But if you go too fast and speeds it up, that could actually play into Boston's hand too. You know, the cross matchups, since we talked about Boston guarding Dallas, Dallas guarding Boston is interesting because you want to hide Luka and Kyrie. And I know they've played great defense in the playoffs, but they're not great defensive players. Like, they're not as good as the Boston guys. There's an ability to hide Luka and Kyrie on the Boston guys because you have Drew and Derek White out there, who are not terrible offensive players, right? But they're not forcing Jaylen Brown to guard Luka. That's your number two guy, maybe number one guy in some cases. The defensive matchups for Dallas, I think, in a lot of ways are better. The only concern I'll have, and I'll throw it to you guys, is you talked about Gafford quite a bit. I think it's going to be more of a lively series because of the fact that you got Horford and you got Porzingis, and the way that those guys can shoot the ball, they're going to pull Dallas away from the basket. Dallas is great at limiting stuff around the rim, but Boston really doesn't operate that way. They want to fire up threes as much as possible. So if they're not going to get affected by that, how does Dallas, who doesn't defend the arc very well, gives up a lot of threes, how are they going to stop them? So what do you guys think? I'll go to Timmy first about the defensive end, Dallas guarding Boston, obviously one of the best offenses, if not the best offense in NBA history, according to their offensive rating.
What they do have against him is, other than Kyrie Irving, who is generously listed at 6'2", 6'3", Kyrie is the shortest player on their team. I think after Kyrie, you have Josh Green, who was about 6'5". So their height, and this is one of the reasons why I think they made it through the West, because we think of the West as these big, these tall teams, but the Mavericks have height. So I think with kids' schemes and the height they have in the perimeter, it will bother them. I don't think they haven't actually, to this point, Boston hasn't had to deal with a team that's this tall on the wing. So it's going to be an adjustment. They still going to shoot the lights out. They're still going to do a lot of amazing things. But it's going to be difficult. You know, like again, Derek Jones Jr., P.J. Washington, Lively, Kleber, Powell, Exum. This team, like, this is like an octopus. Like, everywhere you go, they're going to be hands and feet. So I do think that their added length is going to assist in the defense. But I do think that they can get in a shootout with Boston. Like, Boston has more firepower. You can't go band for band with this team. You have to be able to make them play your game. Make them play your game. As in, slow, and you know, like the rumble truth, they have to grind it out. You have to get them in the place where you possession is taken down. And you, because I still think that Mavericks are the best two one-on-one players in this series, even though I think Tatum and Jaylen are the best players. Kyrie and Luka, one-on-one, they them boys. So you have to get them into the possession game. You have to make Boston have to think a bit, slow down a bit.
Tony, what do you think about did I talk to you about this?
I don't know.
Go, Tony. Sorry.
I was making Terry Rozier jokes. What am I talking about?
I'm sorry. The defense. How
will they defend Boston?
Dallas guarding Boston.
Yeah, it's tough. Boston does not give two F's about doing anything more than bending a defense towards the rim. If they get like 10 shots at the basket, they're happy as long as the three ball is going. So they do care about bending a defense. That's really important in penetration off of that perimeter, and their shot, like, you have to respect their shot so much. They tend to get that really easy. Derek White three-pointers are going to be at a premium in this series. And I think Kristaps Porzingis three-pointers are at a premium in this series, because as tall as Dallas is, are you contesting his shot? You better be right on time. You better be right there, hand up, ready to go. Otherwise, he's shooting over pretty much everybody on that Dallas team. You know, unless they got Kleba, unless they put Lively out there. So those two guys are really the X factor here. How healthy KP is, if all things are even, I think the Boston Celtics take this series, but there's one thing that continues to be tested by them that Dallas can really put on them, is you just keep checking their heart. You just keep checking the desire to compete for four quarters. You just keep going at them. I know you, like Sean said, you're not going to be able to limit the three balls they put up, not with the personnel that you have. You do your absolute best. You fight hard, but you just never go away and stay on them and stay on them and stay on them and make them prove that they want this moment more than you. I think that Dallas is fighting an uphill battle. I think that their margin for this is really, really thin. So you just have to take it to this team and be as physical as possible. And that's hard when they shoot threes the way that they do. But they can take a playbook. They can take a piece out of Miami's playbook from the PJ Tucker year, because I think that they're similarly built. When, you know, Jimmy misses that shot to send it to seven and continue that series. I think that they're playing a similar team here, and Dallas can execute like strategies to try and make the Boston Celtics beat you, rather than letting them play their game and getting them, you know, engaged and going the way that they want. And just like Sean said, I do think playing an open pace with them is a really bad idea. It's a terrible idea. But just getting off the rebound and jetting, that to me is going to be important. And maybe I should have gave that some clarity, because if they can get ahead of their defense, all that defensive versatility that they have means nothing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Pushing when you have opportunities. If you don't have something, you pull it out, you're on offense. I'm going to go rapid fire. If you guys have questions or comments, put them in the chat. We'll get to those right at the very end here. But we're going to go rapid fire back and forth. I really just want you to answer the question. We're going to go through a lot of scenarios. We'll talk about the series. It's going to be like quick and firing, so just stay on your toes, and I will we'll alternate who goes first. Starting off, better coach in the series.
Jason Kidd. Sorry, Jason Kidd. By far.
You guys can obviously agree if you agree. Tony, best coach in the series.
Yeah, Jason Kidd. I like it.
It's crazy that Jason Kidd is getting this much, you know, like Timmy brought this up earlier. He was not a good coach not last too long year. Ago. Maybe he'll spill a soda on the floor. better bench in this series. Who's got the better bench? Tony.
Oh.
This is a good one.
Yeah. Do I think Sam Hauser is going to have an impact in this matchup? Give me Dallas. Give me Dallas. I think Dallas might have more guys.
Jimmy?
Just because I think Lively is more impactful than Horford, I agree.
I agree also. Would we both agree that Luka is the best player in the series?
Yes.
Yes.
Who's the second best player in the series?
Tatum.
Conference Finals MVP? Jaylen Brown? Question mark? This year? I don't know. Not in this series, though, Tatum.
Yeah, Tatum.
All right, here's my follow-up then, because you guys went Jason and Jaylen. Where in the order of players does Kyrie come in?
Next. He's next. He's fourth.
Okay. Do you agree with that, Tony?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jaylen Brown can put his two-way prowess on display now, though.
I will say this series will make both of those boys. The JS, this series, if they win it, they'll shoot up some ranks.
Let me ask this, and then we'll keep moving. So we have Luka in some order. Luka, Jason, Jaylen, Kyrie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep going. You tell me when there's a Maverick that should be in there. Mm-hmm. White, mm-hmm. Drew Holiday, mm-hmm. Porzingis, Horford.
Then you have Maverick. I think I'll take Lively over Big Al.
Or PJ Washington, I think you go there. But I don't think you can put another Maverick after Kyrie before the rest of the starters in Boston, right? The third Maverick is not better than any of the five Boston starters.
What's tough with the Mavs is this one random night, DJJ will be like the fourth best player on the floor. So I don't know. It's tough with them.
All right. Keep it moving. Which player is going to lead the series in points?
Oh, Luka, easily.
Tony.
Easily.
Yeah, say Luka. It's safe.
He's nearly a 2-1 favorite to lead the series in points. He's going to lead the series in threes.
Tatum.
Threes made, I should clarify, just in case you were getting confused there. Because Jason Tatum will probably definitely take the most threes.
Yeah, he's going to take them. He's going to take them. I still say Tatum just by volume.
Timmy. Take a volume.
Sorry, I knew you took me. Something went off. I knew.
It's okay. Most threes in the series. Tony went Tatum.
Made?
Yeah.
I'm feeling very much
Caitlin Clark.
Derek White in the spirit of Patty Mills in 2014.
I wanted to say Derek White.
I actually have Derek White as a bet. Derek White is 2.5-1. Tatum is 5-1. Luka's even money favorite for that. Leading rebounder in the series. This one's actually a pretty surprising one if you think about it. Who do you think?
Tatum.
Tatum's the favorite.
Yeah.
He sneakily gets like in the playoffs, he gets like a lot of 11 and 12 rebound games.
Yeah.
You know who also gets a lot of rebounds? Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
I think because of the way these teams play, especially Boston with the bigs away from the basket, you're going to see the leading rebounder be Tatum or Luka, not one of those bigs.
Yeah. I can see it.
All right. Let's get this. Who wins? How many games in your finals MVP? So I'm looking for three things in the chat. You guys can throw those in there and then we'll close things out. Whoever wants to jump up to the stage first, whoever has the most conviction on this,
Boston and six. Tatum was MVP.
Yeah. Boston and six, but also the fuck that, I hate that. I'm gonna go Mavericks in seven. Because if they do a 2-2 split and it's a 3-game series, give me the two best players at hitting the shot and then give it to me.
But Boston, give it to me again.
Okay. So we got Boston in six. Dallas in seven?
Seven.
Yeah.
In the chat, we got Donut Dan's Dallas in six. Luka's the MVP. Jawal's got the Celtics in six. Tatum MVP. I think Boston in six. It's
Boston.
It's obviously in Dallas, which is typically not where you go. I think it's either going to be Boston in five or Boston in six. If it goes seven, to Tony's point.
Yeah, Luka, if it goes seven, I have Luka. No faith. I have no faith in Boston. Yeah. No faith.
I hope it does.
You let Luka Doncic and Kyrie get a game away from the prize.
No.
It is over. It is. You saw what they did to them boys in Minnesota. It is correct. Over. Like, it won't even be close. It won't even be close. It's a wrap.
So it'll be interesting. Starts off Thursday night. The schedule isn't too bad. Sometimes the NBA Finals. There's 2 days between, because I think it's Thursday, Sunday. And then after that, it's basically almost every other day. Not too much. You have a travel day here and there. So it's not too bad. We'll be having playbacks. We'll be doing coverage. And once we get past that, it's draft time. I know the playback guys have been doing stuff and talking about that. So we appreciate you guys tuning in. Timmy, Tony, thank you. We had over 600, 700 people watching. Thank you guys in the chat for tuning in. It was very good. This will be up on the podcast feed. Don't forget about that Better Edge competition. Free to join. You can win $100. You got to do that before Thursday at 9:00 Eastern when the game one starts. Make sure you check that out. And we'll see you guys soon. Thank you.
And unlike TNT, we'll be back.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big.